This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're back here on the morning shift in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. All right, so some news to get to before we get to the wake-up call, and perhaps you want to chime in on this. Josina Anderson has just tweeted out that I was just told these two quarterback names came up in a recent preliminary trade inquiries or internal discussions per a league source. And one of those quarterbacks happens to be Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I don't know that there's anything, you know, earth-shattering in terms of what she's hearing. I think that there's probably been multiple teams that have called Atlanta. I think the question now becomes, now that we're past free agency, that you really that first round of free agency, what is the asking price for Kirk? And I don't know that just simply saying, hey, you know, where is the money offset, I think is what the biggest question comes. How much of the contract are you willing to eat, or what, you know, how many picks are you willing to send? I thought Day-Day brought up an interesting question a minute ago when we were talking about this, is if Cleveland was to tell you they'd send you two draft picks and you eat the you know, the money due to Kirk Cousins, I'm not sure the Falcons would argue with that, because you're so low on draft picks, and you know, you've said a number of times you've already eaten that money. So I'd be curious to see what exactly those conversations sounded like. But again, I think there's going to be teams that get thirstier and thirstier for a quarterback as we move towards the draft. And the amount of teams that actually need one are starting to dry up just a little bit. I think you're looking at Cleveland, obviously, as the target A1, Tennessee maybe. But other than that, I don't know that there's a big market.
I just don't believe that Cleveland is I don't think Cleveland's ever doing that. You know, Cleveland's a team that is up against the cap. They have all this money they owe Deshaun Watson. They have all this money they're paying Myles Garrett. They've got to build a squad around. They've got to, if they want, you know, if they're going to prove what they had told Myles Garrett, which they're going to try to win, then they've got to find a way to fill a void with a quarterback and still build the roster. I don't think trading draft picks away is going to do that, because you've got to build the team cheaply. You're also, and I need to check their money, but I know that it's nice to say that you're going to eat that this year. But you know what? What about that $10 million will become the Browns next year, which adds on to Kirk Cousins. Like, I just don't think Cleveland is viable. Like, I don't think that. I think their whole plan was, let's sit on our hands and wait for the Falcons and call their bluff, and they'll fold. And that's the thing that I give them credit for, Atlanta. The one thing you know you'll say is, as far as this situation has gotten and as bad as it sounds, I don't think it's as bad as we actually think it is. And you got to give them credit for saying, we're not going to fold and hand him over to some team for nothing while we take a huge hit.
Yeah, I think the other part of this conversation, too, and I think it was what's the guy's name that does Good Morning Football? I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Which one? Kyle Brandt?
Kyle Brandt.
Or that's Peter Schrager?
I think it's Kyle Brandt that was talking about that yesterday, and he was basically saying, if you're Kirk Cousins and you have a no-trade clause and, you know, you've kind of set up shop in the city of Atlanta and you have family here and everything else that goes on with that, how thirsty are you to head to the Cleveland Browns and move your family up there or spend time away from your family and go into a situation where you're not sure how soon you can win? Like, how badly do you want to be a starting quarterback in week one of the NFL season? I think that's the other part of this equation that I've thought for a long time will weigh heavily on Kirk Cousins waiving that no trade.
Well, I think if you called him for a meeting with owner Arthur Blank and you got that meeting and you said that you want to be a starting quarterback, then
yeah.
I think he's serious about it.
I think what that was in hope of is that you just release him. And again, he's got a no trade clause. I think you meet with Arthur Blank in hopes that he's just like, yeah, let's just let him go.
Yeah, that was a Hail Mary. I agree.
Was.
That was a Hail Mary by their camp.
I don't think that. I think that that gives you freedom to sign anywhere, right?
Yeah, so you would uproot your family from Atlanta to go be a starting quarterback.
Yeah, but I just think it's different when you talk about Cleveland that can actually trade. You know, has some of the pieces that Atlanta would want. Again, you have five draft picks. Two of those are seventh rounders. You need draft picks if you're Terry Fontenot. Cleveland could make that happen. Like I said, the only hiccup to me is the no trade clause. You don't have the freedom to just go wherever. You have to go somewhere that Terry can make a deal to get you out of here at this point if you're Kirk Cousins.
So you're saying, but I was just going on the fact that you're saying, how serious is he about wanting to uproot his family? Are you saying how serious is he about wanting to uproot his family for Cleveland?
Correct. Yes. Correct. Yeah. I mean, how thirsty are you to get out of here? I'm sure it sounds really cool when you're like, oh, he could sign with, you know, the Steelers and like all these other teams. You like narrow it down to just Cleveland. I don't know, man. I'd have a hard time making that decision if I was Kirk.
Well, it is time for the wake-up call again. You could call us at 404-726-0929. You can give us your thoughts in light of this news that Justina Anderson just put out that, yeah, Kirk Cousins is among quarterbacks that teams are calling about, and Falcons, I guess, reportedly are fielding some inquiries about him. Does it end up happening? We don't know. We'll have to see, but you can give us your thoughts on that or what else you'd like to see the Falcons do in terms of moves going into this season.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point with what he's saying and is about the no-trade clause. Like, I think Kirk wants to pick because he thinks it's going to help him and he can go there and make no money and pay for the $1 million and get a good team around him too. I think that aspect, I don't think that's lost on Kirk Cousins. Cause I don't think he's going to try to like take it away, like go somewhere and then sign a huge deal. He's going to try to do the Russell Wilson and make it run at a title. Cause that's the last thing he's missing is a title.
We got a couple callers on the line. Let's go to William in Austell. Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Fantastic. Listen, I listen to 19-9 game every day, man. I actually call you guys my side chick because I leave my wife jump in the car and get on the line with you guys. But listen to this, man. I want you, this is my true wake-up call. I'll let you guys, I'm a Philadelphia fan. I actually went to the Super Bowl. We made it on NFL Live. If you go look at NFL Live, you see the guy and the lady in the top hat and the lady in the Jason Kelce hat. That's me and my wife. So this is my wake-up call for you guys, man. Listen, and it has nothing to do with the Falcons. I'll let you guys handle all that. But this car thing with you guys, man, I swear to goodness, man, you guys are weaponizing these cars, man. You're weaponizing your emotions. If I wake up and find out you guys are in an accident or something happened to you guys, I'm going to be done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so just think about being in those cars, man, what you're doing. Let that emotion slide out, man, and just get to the job and give me what I need in the morning.
William hitting us with a little woosah.
Well,
road rage is not worth it.
Road rage ain't really a thing for me in the morning. It's normally it's after 10 o'clock.
I will say, dude, people ask me all the time what time I wake up for this job. It is worth it to me not to have to battle traffic on the way to work. I will say that. Like, the people that are 9-to-5ers, I'm like, that's cool. How late did you sleep? But you spend an hour in the car.
Dude,
and shout out to the people that are dealing with that right now. Because that's a tough life.
Unless you work from home.
I have worked every shift in radio other than, like, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. kind of thing. I've worked every shift. I've worked mornings. I've worked middays. I've worked afternoons. I've worked nights. This is the best shift for driving. This is the very best shift for driving. If you
not to brag to the people out there,
but like without a doubt, because my commute in, your commute in is normally what people like most. You know, our regular listeners, our 9-to-5ers, their commute in and their commute home is rough.
That's
what we're here for. Hopefully, we can get you through it, or you know, make you probably some people I'll probably make even angrier.
All right, let's go to Anthony in Covington. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning. We are back, baby. Squid Nation in the house.
That's right.
Here we go. Here we go.
Opie in the back. Give me that wham, wham, wham. Good morning, everyone.
I love it.
Elder Squid, how we doing?
Good, sir. You?
Fantastic. All-American, how we doing, sir?
I'm doing great this morning, man. Doing great.
And our resident Olympian, how we doing, Miss Tiff?
I'm doing good, thank you.
All right, so it's been a minute, but I've been listening from afar. Myself and Opie, we've been sitting back, we've been listening. I'll wake up calls to these Falcons fans, a couple of them, first and foremost. Number one, Ray McLeod slander will not be tolerated anymore. What else did this man have to do?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you see these bright, shiny wide receivers that have come out like, oh, we need a number three. Why?
So true.
Give this man his flowers. Give him the respect. Let the man cook. Leave him alone. We got a true blue number three. Move on with your life. Number two, in this draft, what has told anybody anything that we are 100% dead set that we are going to go on an edge rusher? Terry Fontenot has shown that he is going to take best player available. Now, I do fully agree that he will take best player available. Defense, but my thing is at 15 and just kind of what I'm seeing mock drafts and how it's been playing out, doing it myself on that little computer app, just hitting reset. I'm telling you, the best playmaker that I'm seeing around that time is going to be Malachi Starks, and here's my thing. He is a playmaker. Look how much our defense changed when Jesse Bates came in.
That's a good point.
Now give me another Jesse Bates right next to him. Someone else who is a ball hawk, who's going to make tackles, make game-changing plays. I'm telling you, do not be surprised if Malachi Starks is that pick at 15. I love you guys. Y'all have a fantastic nice morning. Call. We couldn't do this without y'all. I hate this one-hour drive, but y'all make it better.
Man, that's a phenomenal call, man.
Thank you so much.
I don't think he's that out of pocket with what he's saying either. And that's the vibe. When we spoke to Terry Fontenot, what was it now, 3 weeks ago, when he was at the Combine, That's the exact vibe we kind of got. You asked the best player available question, and it was like, dude, there's depth at edge, and it depends on how you value guys. And I don't know.
That's why I keep saying, go get a playmaker on defense. I don't care where he plays if he's a playmaker. And if you're drafting at 15, Mike, that best player available has to be a playmaker, right? I mean, we didn't like it when Keanu Neal was drafted here in 16, but guess what he was? He came in here, and his first three or four seasons before he started injuries, he was a playmaker.
Agreed.
All right, well, playmaker on the track. Let's talk about Austin Dillon, driver of the number 3 Chevy. He will join us on the other side when we return here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99. The game this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back here on the morning shift and going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where you find former Daytona 500 champion and driver of the number 3 car, Austin Dillon, joining us here on the morning shift. Good morning, Austin.
Morning. How's it going?
Good. We're doing good. You recovered from that trip out to Vegas?
Yeah, you know, long time out there because we're at Phoenix as well. And so I got to stay out a couple days in Phoenix and drive over to Vegas. And so, yeah, I mean, a couple days in Vegas, you're ready to get home pretty fast.
Yeah.
Past my rule is anything past two is too long. So I was there about four. So, yep, I'm ready to get home.
I've done five before, so yeah. I feel you.
Hey, Austin, did you? I know Denny had some luck on the slots out there. Did you run into any found money out there in Las Vegas?
No, I ended up coming back with $400 less. I tried to learn a new game. I played Pai Gow. And Pai Gow is I only play blackjack. And I tried to venture out. Didn't work out for me.
Yeah.
What is Pai Gow, Austin?
Yeah.
It's tough, man. Like, it's mostly a push game. So you're just trying to push the card and you're beating your – it's pretty much five-card poker. And you play a low and a high hand inside the hand. It's not that hard, but you've got like side bets that you can win money on, and you're trying to push to win the side bets. And then when you win the overall bet, it's a pretty good payday.
There you go.
All right, Austin Dillon, driver of the number three car, and new morning shift Braves analyst here. And we'll get to the
insider.
We'll get to why you were in Vegas and what happened and some of the stuff that happened in that race, and maybe. And maybe a look ahead to Homestead. But what do you think about the news that kind of broke, I'd say like 6, 7 o'clock last night, that the Braves have brought back Craig Kimbrell. It's going to be a minor league deal, I think worth around $2 million. But the hope is he ramps up and maybe he gets back on that the major league roster here maybe mid-April, early May.
Man, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I was always a Craig Kimbrell fan when he started on the Braves. The guy throws absolute gas, and if he's still got it in the tank, he's going to be someone that we'll have down the stretch that we can lean on out of the pen. So I think it's cool. It's interesting to see him back with the Braves organization, and hopefully we see a great year out of him. And I kind of chuckled on the way home when I saw it. I was like, man, that's pretty cool. And I was coming back from the simulator. We had just got done testing for Homestead in the sim. And when I saw it, I just kind of smiled. I'm like, all right, we'll see how this works out.
Before we get to the Homestead stuff, too, because I do want to get a little look ahead at that, Austin. But I don't know how much. I know you had a late night, Sunday night, getting back from the race. I'm assuming you got back really late. But I think it was Monday. Spencer Strider took the hill for the Atlanta Braves. Looked pretty incredible, seeing as how we haven't seen him pitch in almost a year. But what did you think? And I don't know if you got a chance to catch it, but he looked pretty electric too.
Yeah, I saw some highlights. Eight up, eight down. I mean, that's impressive. Spencer's another guy that, he just throws gas. And he looked, in the stuff I saw, looked like he was in control. And that's good to see. You know, I mean, he always could control the game by overpowering hitters, but he's got some pretty awesome pitches that he can play off of that fastball. And from what I saw, I mean, he was just rolling.
Yeah, and then they have AJ Smith-Shawver. Austin is also, he looked pretty dominant too, which is good because the back, how do you feel about the back end of this rotation? Because look, we got Schwellenbach, we got Strider eventually coming back, we know we got Chris Sale. And then you got kind of Ronaldo Lopez, but AJ Smith-Shawver is a guy we're going to need to really step up there.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, I think the big thing is Smith-Shawver, if he can step in that role as the last guy in that rotation, I think it'll be fine. And I think he can. I mean, he showed moments of greatness early on when he came to the bigs, and I think it's his turn to kind of step in there and do his thing. And, Ronaldo was awesome last year. Getting Strider back is a big bump. And then Schwellenbach was a huge surprise. I feel like late in the season last year was good to see him pitch. He might have been our top guy at the end of the year.
Hi, Austin. Hanging out with Austin Dillon, driver of the number three car for Richard Childress Racing. Before we get to the Vegas race, I do want to talk a little bit about it was so funny last time we saw you. We were in the motorhome down at Land Motor Speedway. We brought up the fact that you were in enemy territory. You're a Carolina Panthers fan, but you do love the Braves. I got to ask you real quick, what did you think about the Carolina Panthers through free agency? Are you a Bryce Young believer for that franchise? Do you think that next year is kind of his year to shine?
Man, I tell you what, it's been tough. When we drafted him, I'm not gonna lie, I was pulling for C.J. Stroud. I thought Stroud had the bigger upside, and then after year one, I was beating my drum on that one. And what Dave Canales did with Bryce, and how the team has started to kind of build around him, and to see him overcome adversity, getting benched, coming back out on the field, and the way he handled that situation definitely turned me into a fan, and seeing the finish of last season, and he was starting to have some swagger. You know, he's throwing balls and turning around and throwing up field like the touchdown before it even happened. So, like, that's cool, and you love seeing that, because in Carolina we had Cam Newton for so long that you couldn't get more swag than Cam. So there were some big shoes to fill from that standpoint, and I think Bryce is doing a good job, and I think what we did in free agency to the defense, man, we bolstered our defense, and I think that low-key Rico Dattle signing as our secondary running back, I think that puts us in a position to have that 1-2 punch that you see from like Detroit last year that was really effective. I mean, we got two 1,000-yard rushers on the team for 25.
So, Austin, then, care to make a prediction for the NFC South?
Don't you dare say that the Panthers are going to win. Either.
Yeah, easy now. Easy now.
Easy, Austin.
If you talk to ChatGPT, we're still in build mode, but we're going to win like 8 games, I think, this year. So I don't know if that'll get it done in the NFC South. I think it has before, maybe 9. You never know what you're going to get from our division.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to predict that we're going to take the division back this year, but we're going to be stronger than last year and very close to a winning record. So we'll see.
All right, Austin Dillon joining us here. I got to talk to you about Homestead. I think last time we talked, you were like, hey, you know what? I enjoy Homestead. It's fun.
I think he said it was his favorite track.
We had our iRacing League race last night, and we went to Homestead. Now, personally, one of us in this room got a top five finish. It was me. I'll go ahead and tell you. But, dude, that track is hard. You can't really run low. The middle line is good, but if you're in the gas too much, too early before the straightaway, you'll lose it.
He knows all these things. I think he's aware.
How do you run that place? How do you run that place with speed?
Man, it's I will say this. I think iRacing, the model at Homestead, is a little off compared to what we have at the track.
Thank God.
Like running on it. The walls. Great at the track, obviously, but the bottom is much better than what it is in iRacing at track. If you have to get down there, you got to be patient, and if you can wrap the exit a little longer, you can gain some pace. And then there's like this slider line that's in between the middle and the top that really works. So we practice all those lines a little bit when we're in the simulator, and they all come into play at different times because the track is constantly cheese grading tires. Like, I mean, it's a
degradation
track, meaning that the tires are always falling off from the moment you hit the asphalt. So you got to be taking care of them, and you got to find lines that are easier on the tire to be able to have that long run pace.
All right, Austin, I want to ask you a question about last week's race, and I want to bring our audience up to speed if they didn't catch it. There was a situation where I think it was Christopher Bell had a loose left front tire, and he's going down pit road, and his crew chief essentially tells him to turn into a teammate's pit. He turns into Chase Briscoe's pit and gets his left front tightened. He had to go to the rear of the field, but if the tire falls off, it's a two-lap penalty. So I don't know how much of this you were aware of in real time, but I'd love to hear what your reaction was to them actually being able to pull that off and have minimal damage there.
Well, it was a heck of a move. I mean, they had discussed it prior and were able to accomplish it. They must have had a really good radio communication because it happened fast, and they were able to make a good move there to save not only a two-week penalty, but it's 2 weeks for your jackman and your changer. Yeah. And not every roster is very deep out there. You know, your top guys are in there getting it done. So when you have a penalty like that, it hurts you for weeks. And so, yeah, it's a good move. We've discussed it. We had a penalty. We had that same thing happen last year at the Roval, and we didn't accomplish that. But if it were to happen again, I think we'd be prepared for it.
Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant move. But although I remember in Days of Thunder, they were specifically told by the NASCAR official another team couldn't touch a car.
Good old Days of Thunder.
But hey, real quick, about 60 seconds, has the PBR season started up? I know you're I think what owner and GM of that team,
Carolina Cowboys.
Yeah, man, I'm the GM, and I feel like that season never ends. We're always trying to constantly make our team better and give the guys what they need to perform and kind of prepare for the season with the business side of things, selling tickets for our event in Greensboro, September, 10th through the 12th. That's right. At the Greensboro Coliseum. If you want to come see some awesome action, there's nothing more adrenaline pumping, I promise you, than a PBR teams event. Actually, my bull made the PBR last weekend. We went 2-0. First time, and the bull's name's Yo Mama. You can see that video. It was hilarious to see Yo Mama buck two guys off, and it's really funny when you listen to the announcers. The announcers didn't know what to say.
Oh man. I love that.
I did not expect that this morning.
Nice work.
Oh, well, awesome. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Well, thanks, guys, and I really appreciate having me on. And I tell you what, we had a fast car in Vegas. We didn't get to talk about that much. We were driving up through the field multiple times. We had a rough day on pit road. We're going to get it together this weekend at Homestead, but I'm really excited about the speed that Kyle and I have. We just our RCR cars were fast. We didn't get to show it. We drove from 22nd to 11th, from dead last to 11th, and about that same time frame we had issues, so... Yeah. And then a big wreck. So this weekend at Homestead, it's going to be a good weekend for us.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, best of luck to you. And thanks again for the time.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. That was Austin Dillon, former Daytona 500 champion and driver of the number 3 car, joining us here on the morning shift. He'll be with us.
Every other week. Yeah, he's going to be he's going to help us with our Braves stuff and just catch up every once in a while. Kind of friend of the show now.
Yeah, I love that. He's like, me and Kyle had some speed. He's talking about Kyle Busch, his teammate, the driver of the number 8. So interesting stuff.
All right, when we come back here, we're going to get you some steak tips. That's on the way when we return on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. We're back here on the morning shift. We got steak tips on the way and the latest on the TGL.
Yeah, I wasn't the only person in Atlanta that had a good night. Our TGL team, Atlanta Drive. Tiffany, they're going to the championship. They're going to the finals.
It's been a fun league so far. A lot of people are having a good time going to these matches.
Yeah, it's been really cool with what they've done down there in Florida with some of these setups. But so Justin Thomas, Billy Horschel, and Patrick Cantlay kind of dominated the Bays. The Bays got Shane Lowry. Minwoo Lee and Ludwig Øyburg, he's in the full swing. I've only one episode in because I've been trying to. I caught up the first two episodes of the new season of Righteous Gemstones, which I know you're a big favorite.
Wait, there's a new season?
Yeah, it's back.
What?
Yeah, Righteous Gemstones is back. The final season is back. Yes. So I had to catch up with the first two episodes of this season. Bradley Cooper makes a cameo, but that's all I'm going to tell you.
And I know what I'm doing later.
But look, they won last night, and now that it's a best of 3, I think that starts next week.
Starts on Monday, March 24th, and they'll play 3 nights in a row if needed. Best of 3 series, like you said, they'll play Monday and Tuesday and on Wednesday if necessary. But I'm with Tiff. Like, it's been a lot of fun to kind of keep up with TGL. It fills a void in the sports calendar of that, you know, those kind of midweek days, you know, between, you know, the NFL playoffs and really the start of baseball, I think it's filled a nice void for a lot of people to be able to check that out on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. So
yeah, they've done a good job mixing in with college basketball and not and getting it in before, you know, baseball really starts and the playoffs of basketball and hockey are in full swing. That is a void. Believe it or not, it is a void. But NBA regular season, college basketball regular season, spring training, they've kind of jumped in there and all of it, and it's been cool to watch. Yeah. I think one of my favorite things about it is when I watch them hit, like they're hitting on a tee off of grass or just grass,
yes.
Or when they have a sand shot, it's literally out of sand. And it's all lined up. It's like a driving range type setup that they have, but there's one of each. And I just think that's kind of cool.
And not only that, my one of my favorite aspects, and you mentioned Full Swing a minute ago, you've gotten to know these guys a little bit better because they're always mic'd up. They're constantly doing interviews. You can hear them talking to one another, making decisions. It really shows the relationship between each golfer better than anything the PGA can put on.
It does that, and I think it shows the professionalism that they are, how they act on the actual tour.
Yeah.
We see it in Ryder Cup some, but when these guys are on tour, I mean, you see a fist pump here and there, or and they're like, they'll, you know, get really excited with their caddy, but they're talking trash. They're joking around. And Billy Horschel had like the chain, or whatever he was wearing the first match of them. Like, you're really seeing them come out more and more. Some of the stuff you see a little bit on Twitter and behind the scenes on Full Swing, you're really seeing it in the middle of a match. Yeah, it's emotion.
When we visited with Billy Horschel, he was on the Falcons pregame with us during football season and got a chance to catch up with him. And you could just tell him talking about that. He was so excited about that aspect. And then he comes out and has the Dirty Bird chain. So I thought that was really cool as well.
Yeah, let's get some steak tips.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you. How's everybody
Great
doing today?
Great to see you as well. Sports coat on. I said the term power luncheon a minute to you because I'm always judging what you're wearing.
I know you always
it's not
are.
Just
Miller
a lunch.
Brothers. It's a Miller Brothers special. Kudos.
It's not just a luncheon, though. It's not just a luncheon. It's a power luncheon.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Decisions are being made.
We had
made.
A breakfast downstairs with some fun people.
Yeah,
so.
Decisions are being made.
What do you call that, Mike? Is a power breakfast?
Yeah, maybe so.
I'm just asking.
You got to fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the tournament, right? There's only so much. I think we're going to talk about So you're excited about the TGL?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Atlanta's made the final. They're going to play that next week. I think it's been really neat.
I'll tell you this. The golf group that I went with, the Sweetens, over the last week, like all of us text during matches, like in our group chat, like the guys are watching or after, like it's been, I was surprised that the group kind of interacted that way about the TGL. So I think that's really good.
I think it's getting
better
and better. I would say that. I think it's evolving. We may have somebody who was down there last night. See, it is nice to see Atlanta doing well. I want to talk about why the next few weeks are so cool. I love to see people's lives change in one moment, and that's what happens at the NCAA. And I'm talking about guys that you don't know their name other than March Madness. I'm not talking about Danny Manning, who led Kansas, or Purvis Ellison, who led Louisville. Like, you knew those guys. They were all Americans, right?
Yeah.
Now, they had great runs, but they were supposed to. I'm talking about a guy like last year. You remember the kid's name? Jack Golke hits 10 threes against Kentucky.
You're talking about the guys that, and this is for Atlanta people, like R.J. Hunter. You're talking about guys that had moments in March that you're like, wow.
Well, you would never know their name otherwise.
Yeah. I don't want to step on your toes here, but I think one of the best shooters to ever grace the NBA, the first time we found out about him and Steph Curry as fans.
The
Davidson run.
Yeah.
We didn't really know. We knew his dad, Dell, but he wasn't a national player.
I would agree,
but
he was a dominant player. Well, he was a dominant player at Davidson, but I'll give you that, right?
Maybe the guy I had this weekend at Liberty, Caden Matheny, was just launching threes, like logo threes.
Right.
So we were talking about perhaps he could be a guy that might be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about guys that you would never have known their name if it wasn't for their moment.
And guys that, I think to your point, never had a magical NBA career.
Exactly right. You know, that's part of my criteria.
Yes.
All right. So I'll just give you a few. 1990. This guy playing for Connecticut. Connecticut's had a lot of great players, but he wasn't considered one of them. Tate George at the buzzer, 1990.
Yeah.
And the Huskies will have exactly 1 second remaining in this ball game to try and pull off a miracle. Just 1 second left. Burrell takes the ball, looking inbound, loops it far up court for George, who catches it, turns around, shoots, and he got it! He hit it! He hit the shot, and the Huskies have won it!
So, what's interesting about Tate George, do you know the next game Connecticut played Duke in the final eight? You know, Leitner hit the shot. They think that Kentucky was his shot. Christian Leitner had two shots in his college career. He eliminates Connecticut the next game. They inbound to Leitner inbounds it. They go back to him, and he beats Tate George in Connecticut and costs them going to the
Final
Four.
Does Christian Leitner fit your criteria?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But that's why I didn't. But I'm just telling you, Connecticut lost the next game on a buzzer beater. Mm. Christian Leitner had two shots in 4 years where Duke would have lost if he didn't make the shot, and he made both of them.
Mm.
I'll give you another
I can
year.
Feel the money flying out of my wallet towards my bookie right now. Stick.
He may be the ultimate, never heard of his name until this moment. SEC, sorry, Oxford, Mississippi. It's 1998. They did this to Ole Miss.
The inbounds pass to be thrown by Jamie Sykes. Carter pressuring. It's to Jenkins. The Drew for the win. Gone.
Oh!
He did it. Bryce Drew did it.
Bryce Drew.
Yeah.
One of the greatest plays ever drawn up. No shot. They're Valparaiso. Now, he would go on to be a coach we've heard of, but not an NBA player. Not a school you ever would have heard of in Valparaiso, and probably the most played shot in NCAA history. He's a high school name because of that moment.
Yeah, his dad was the coach. Homer Drew, I think, was his name. Yeah. I remember coming home from school, getting off the bus, walking in, and turning, changing the TV my mom had on from like Oprah or something. I was like, I want to NCAA tournament. And literally, he hits the game. He hits that shot. Like, I see like the last 30 seconds of that game. It was so. Yeah. That's so crazy. That's how I fell in love with the tournament, was stuff like that.
It's weird, State, because you've gone a couple of routes I didn't know you'd go, and I had a couple of names in mind. But
give me some.
How about Jimmer Fredette? And I think he was was Jimmer in the Olympics?
He had a nice run, but he wasn't a leading scorer for much of that season, wasn't he, Jimmer Fredette?
Yeah. He was in the Olympics.
Kevin Pitsnoggle. Remember Kevin Pitsnoggle of West Virginia?
The white kid. How can you forget a name like that?
I think they eliminated Calipari in Kentucky. But he was a big time player.
We talked about Adam Morrison yesterday from what did we say? Gonzaga.
Yeah,
Gonzaga.
Had a big back and forth. But I don't know that he fits your criteria either. But Tyler Hansbrough is a guy that I always think of that was, you know, massive, one of the best players in the country in terms of college. I don't know about March though.
I think back, maybe it's on your list. I don't know. I doubt it. But like a guy like Scott Padgett from the 98 Kentucky team, who was a bench player, came off and had phenomenal minutes.
With Jeff Shepard from Peachtree
Ridge. Yeah, Jeff Shepard's another one, yeah.
That wins a national title.
Yeah.
And then there's this kid. Villanova's had a lot of great players. Chris Jenkins is not one of the great players.
They go length of the court with Archie Diacono. 3 seconds at midcourt.
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
So,
one of the great calls of all time, too.
Yeah, Chris Jenkins hits a shot that wins a national title after Carolina, by the way, made the most incredible three to tie the game on a double pump in the air 3-point shot. So, there are going to be these guys the next 2 weeks that names will live forever.
Yeah, one shining moment.
Yeah. And they won't, by the way. The rule is. They can't have been a great – Adam Morrison was a great player in college.
Yeah.
Some of these others. This needs to be their only moment.
Okay. All right.
So
– yeah. I got homework. I have to report back.
What you got for us today?
What do we have? Sandy's back in the house. Some good things happening locally that I don't know that everybody's focused on enough. So, update from the Braves, but a lot on the Atlanta Hawks this morning that you should be excited about. Also, a little bit more on this golf league and Atlanta's running that. And, you know, just good to have Sandy back in the house as well. So all right. That's all coming up.
That's going to do it for us here on the Morning Shift. Steakhouse is next and Sports Radio 99 The Game.